Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Strap in for a road trip show, as many of us are headed to Central Indiana for the Indy Disney Meet Saturday in Noblesville, Indiana, to benefit Give Kids the World. We're going to have some fun Disney talk to get you down the road and putting those miles behind you. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for that next Disney vacation, we know it's special, and you need to make it as awesome as possible. The experts over at The Magic for Less are going to help you plan that vacation, whether it's down to Walt Disney World, out to Disneyland, sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. Drop by themagicforless.com today, see all the specials there. It's a great resource for trip planning. It's an awesome site. And while you're there, fill out the free, no obligation quote, and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Support the show the easiest way possible. Just use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. So again, please bookmark it and use it often. beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Yeehaw! Hello, everybody. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson, and you're listening to the Be Our Guest podcast. I perform every Wednesday through Saturday at Disney World's Port Orleans Riverside Resort. I will invite everybody out to the show. We're saving you a seat.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1540 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at The Magic for Less Travel and on Interstate 70 headed east to Indianapolis, Indiana. This is the road trip show. I know lots of folks are heading to Central Indiana, so safe travels. Keep it at 10 and 2 and keep it between the lines. And we'll see you tomorrow, Saturday, at the Indy Disney Meet to raise money for Give Kids the World. Come by the table, say hello, be a part of a podcast recording. We're going to be on the main stage, and Mizzou is playing USC, South Carolina. So I will be either very happy or grumpy, but wear black and gold and give me an MIZ, and we'll be friends forever. All right, we're going to have a good time today talking some Disney, Walt Disney World, looking back, looking forward. Just some fun Disney talk to get you through this Friday. Even if you're not coming to the meet, we need to get you ready for the weekend. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky's taking a bird to Indy while the rest of us are driving. So what's up, Ricky?
I am getting on a plane later on tonight so that I can head up to Indy. So I'm very excited. I love getting to go to Indy for the new Disney meet. It's one of my favorite things I do each and every year. So super excited to be able to raise money for Give Kids the World, because that is the most important thing that happens at the Indy Disney Meet. So make sure you've got your wallets. I've got mine. In my instance, it's my credit card. Yep. And get ready to spend some money.
And you'll come home for a good cause. And you'll come home with random stuff, like in the auctions. Like last year, I think we came home with a R2-D2 air popcorn popper. And nice. Also we have a crock pot that's Pixar. It's got all the Pixar.
Awesome.
Characters.
I know. Yeah. Cool. See, I still have one of my cool things. It is an Osborne Spectacle of Dancing Lights light bulb that I may or may not have tried to keep people from bidding on.
Ricky was yes, she was like using a body block. I think that's why they had to go to online auction.
Absolutely.
Ricky was the cause, I think.
I was.
We found out Noblesville's finest. They were thinking about it. All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Pam, the Pam for Less, the Magic for Less. Pam Forrester.
I'm not paying for that ad read.
I know, that's right. That's a horrible one. So I'm just saying, I was trying to decide, you're going to be driving west. So we'll see you there at Indy. What's up?
Right. We are driving west. Go west, young man. Both Steve and Hannah are joining me on the trek across.
Yay!
Whatever. So yes, I know. So I'm glad to have them with me. But yes, we are coming in. Can't wait. I have been thinking about what I want to have happen here at this meet, thinking about trying to remember all the things I need to bring. Of course, I have notes and lists and like everything. My Google Keep is crazy. Oh, yeah. It's just like nuts. So anyways, but, you know, we've shopped, we've done all we can, we've ordered, you know, we're ready. So looking forward to it, looking forward. It's always great to have the opportunity, first of all, to see people that we know in person, right? To get to see them again, but to get to meet people that we haven't had the chance to meet.
I know, it's the best.
When they come up and say, like, I listen to the podcast, that's so rewarding to get to do. First of all, I think that all three of us at different times are sort of pinching ourselves that anyone listens to us.
Right.
Because we can't even get our family members to do that. So
I check that every morning. Cool. First thing before I even check my inbox, I just make sure somebody downloaded the show again. I'm like, yes, thank you. Good. Somebody downloaded. People are still downloading. Good.
Here we are. We've been doing this for a long time. We're up to 1,500 some shows.
Yeah.
And what? That's craziness. Yep. So anyways, it's really just so rewarding that we provide some kind of entertainment or education or
distraction.
So we hope that we bring some joy out into the world. That's our main goal in this thing. And you all bring so much to us just by listening and interacting with us. So looking forward to seeing some of you.
Yeah, Hundo P. Can't wait to meet everybody in Indy. It's going to be fun.
Stop.
I'm bringing it back.
That sounds like the dude from Galaxy's Edge.
Yes, guys!
I haven't been there yet. Stop. Spoiler
Hundo
alert.
P.
I haven't been. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Maybe that's his Twitter handle.
That could be, yeah.
Okay, here we go. So today, and again, I get my greatest podcast topic ideas on my morning runs at 4:45 when it's still dark, and I'm wondering if that snake's going to be on the path or not today. Yesterday, it was a snapping turtle that I almost stepped on.
And, good.
The day before, six of them came strolling down our street to get a drink out of the lake. So nice. I tell Pam, I've totally changed zip codes, Ricky, because it's crazy. We don't live that far in the country. I'm not like it's like I'm in like, you know, Poplar Bluffs or anything, but there are wildlife where I live.
There?
So it's kind of a, there is wildlife, I should say. Anyway, so
we're
not
here
for Grammarly.com is not bringing you this show today. So anyway, what we're going to talk about. So I've been thinking about these changes. Like I was listening to 3028. I was listening to Wedway. I was listening to some other Disney podcasts.
So basically the Matt Parrish
empire, basically. Yeah. So anyway, like I'm just thinking, you know, all these changes happening at Epcot. You know, I'm going down next week for the last Illuminations, first Epcot forever, and I'm going to ride the Skyliner. It's my three main goals. I'll see Galaxy's Edge as well. But I just, like, if you would have told me, like 10 or 15 years ago, that Interventions building will be gone. Like, it just will not exist. I'd have been like, you're crazy. If you'd have told me the Fountain of Nations won't be there, totally gone, bulldozing. I'd be like, you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about? That's like the center of Epcot. Not happening. But these things are happening. So today I thought we'd kind of reflect back on things from the last 10 or 15 years on our vacations. That if somebody would have come up to you and said, you know what? Not going to be here in 2019. You'd have been like, man, you're so crazy that you need to go over to Universal. Get out of here. That's not happening. And then we're also going to talk kind of at the end of the show about things that we think maybe in 10 years, in a decade, that may be missing from Walt Disney World that, like, kind of unbelievable if you think about it today, but maybe we'll give some justification as to why possibly those things could go away. So, Pam, as we start off, like 10 or 15 years ago, what is something that if somebody would have come up to you and said, you know, this thing, it's just not going to be here in 2019, 2020. And you'd have been like, whatever. So what comes to your mind first when you think of that?
So although it's not my feelings about this that make me think that, you know, that it was going to stay around for a while. It's not that I was super entertained by it, but it was the fact that it was newer. There was lots of money put into it. The lights, motors, action thing. Thing disappeared fairly quickly in the whole realm of Disney attractions and shows and whatnot. I mean, it was a huge people eater of a show. It could like envelop half the people that were in Hollywood Studios at any one time, right?
Yes.
Of course, it did feel like you were sort of sitting on the sun out there as you watched at different times, right? But that, I just, I like, I went to the media event for that. You know, we had had the travel agency open for a while during that time. I got to go and see it and all of that. I never would have thought it would have gone as quickly as it did. Now, having said that, I watched it maybe the first, you know, during the media event and maybe one or two other times. And then I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. So I see why it's gone, but you know.
I've told the story about how the first time I watched it, Brian actually fell asleep.
And he's like a car guy. Like he's like a NASCAR guy. Like that's his, that's like in
exactly.
his lane.
This is like his lane, right? Like I took him because I thought he was going to enjoy it because it was about cars and he was into NASCAR and all that stuff. Right. And like legit, the dude fell asleep in the stands. So yikes.
My biggest memory from this one is probably when they used to have the I think it was a Tower of Terror 10 miler. You ran across the stage like during the race. Like that was part of the course. Like you ran across the where the cars went.
Yeah.
So my best memory is I'm looking and they had a camera like they do it during the races. Like so you can see yourself up on the Jumbotron, but it's like delayed. Like you're like, where's the camera? Like you see people, so you're caught, like you're running, but you're looking up at the big screen, waving. I tripped.
No,
because I was looking to the side, like I'm waving to the big screen, like when am I going to be on? This happens at ESPN, Wide World of Sports during the marathon too, and so you're like, yeah, but you hit a crack and broke my mom's back. So that's how that.
Nice.
When that's your best memory of an attraction, that's not saying much. So,
oh my gosh.
That is interesting. I think it was on loan from France, and I think they called us on the loan after the last few years and said, you no longer get lights, motor, action. All right. So, Ricky, what else? Like, somebody comes up to you, you know, 10, 15 years ago and says, this is going away. You're like, get out of here. Not happening.
I mean, I still can't believe it's gone. And that is the Great Movie Ride. I mean, that was the definition of the park. You know, I mean, that ride was what Disney's Hollywood Studios, originally Disney MGM, you know, was about. Like, that's what it was. It was about these movies. It was about telling these stories of what these movies have done with history and how they're important and why they're important. And I've gone back and watched some of these movies because of the Great Movie Ride, you know. So the fact that, you know, yes, of course, the audio animatronics were a little dated and Sigourney Weaver's face looked a little plasticky and, like, you know, just a little off after a while there. But it still was what the park was about to me. So the fact that they took it out, and I know we're getting Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and that's going to be a phenomenal attraction. Don't get me wrong. I know it's going to be a great attraction. But the fact of the matter is they took something that was so what I interpreted Disney to be, which was this big audio animatronic spectacle. I mean, you had the cast members who were part of the story and they were, you know, spieling, and then you had the twist in the middle, and like, this is what Disney was to me. And, you know, like, I know Disney has changed overall over the past 10, 15 years as to what is Disney, you know, IP, but that's what Disney is. You know, no original stories. So, you know, that's kind of what Disney is now, which I get, I understand. It doesn't make me happy. But, you know, the fact that they took out Great Movie Ride, which was the staple of the park, just absolutely floored me.
And I think along those same lines, Alfred in our live chat here on Facebook's mentioning the backstage, Magic Tour that you used to be able to do, or not Backstage Magic, but The backlot tour. That they used to do.
Yeah.
And it's funny because all three of these things are at the studios initially as we're talking about this. And that was kind of the heart. But I think it was both of those things are kind of the transformation of Disney's Hollywood Studios, all three of them, because they were about the process of making movies and kind of the behind the scenes stuff. But as times change, probably, I mean, you know, we always say this, but it is so true. Times are changing so fast nowadays that things have moved over to CGI, and, you know, there's not a lot to watching a movie being made. It's like watching me sitting here typing on a computer or doing CGI on a, you know, a desktop. I mean, you know, it's not like the big elaborate sets and, you know, I mean, there is live action going on, you know, they got to capture stuff, but it's not what it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. So I get it, but it is kind of sad to see it. Great points, both. Mine is going to be, it's kind of an Epcot Magic Kingdom thing, and it's a nighttime parade, especially at the Magic Kingdom. Like, when I was falling in love with Walt Disney World, early 2000s, you know, the thing was, every night we closed out the Magic Kingdom, and we did Epcot the same way with a parade and fireworks. You know, it was just like, that was Walt Disney. Like, that was the formula for your Disney vacation every night, was you went and you saw fireworks and you saw a parade at the end of the evening. Now, the studio's a little bit different with, like, Fantasmic and some fire, that was your fireworks and show kind of thing combined. But, I mean, especially at Epcot with Tapestry of Nations, Tapestry of Dreams, and then Illuminations. And then you had, Spectrum Magic or Main Street Electrical Parade and Wishes or some kind of a fireworks show. I mean, that was just like it was so formulaic. Like, you ride the rides all day, you have your good times, you make your memories, you get around, and then you slow down at the end of the night, watch fireworks, and see a nighttime parade that lights up the magic. I mean, it's magical. Spectrum Magic and the music, that was a summer night for me. And, like, if you'd have told me that the Magic Kingdom will not have a nighttime parade, I'd have been like, you're crazy. Like, that's the essence of your Disney vacation. So, Pam, what do you think about that? I mean, I still can't believe there's still not a nighttime parade at Magic. I get it because of logistics, but I still can't believe they don't have one.
So I think for me, too, the thing that has taken the place of the parade is really the projection show that they do on the castle. I realize it's not quite the same thing, but the good thing about that is when they redid that hub area of the Magic Kingdom, having the projection show means that you can still have a lot of people there and it doesn't disrupt the flow of the park. Before, the nighttime parade actually caused a lot of traffic issues when it came to that. And you heard the complaints from lots of people, like, we were trying to get out and we couldn't, or whatever, we were trying to get in and we couldn't. It really used to just stop that area. Now they've sort of made that less of an issue and still offered the opportunity to have another nighttime thing. So I think that could be or play into some of the thinking into that. I really love, though, the castle projection show. I think it offers not only a really good show with great music, too, but I think it offers you the opportunity in our Instagrammable world to get really cool pictures of the castle with the projections on them. It totally transforms the castle. It's looking like a Cheshire Cat, or it's looking like something from Tangled, or it's looking like the house and the balloons from Up. I think that's a really cool feature, but I get what you're saying about the parade for sure.
So let me ask both of you this. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer, but if you had to, if Disney gave you the choice, you get the projection show or you get a nighttime parade, which one are you gonna, Pam, what would you pick if they asked you?
I may pick the projection show just because of the thing that I offered. I think that it offered, to me, some of the projection shows over the year, and I like the current one they have right now, it really offers a chance for an emotional connection. And I really enjoy that. And it doesn't, it doesn't block up the park quite so much. So,
and it can be much more dynamic. They can change it a lot easier, update it,
Exactly. It's they can add new movies easier. They can incorporate new things. I mean, I realize that more than people who are my age go to Walt Disney World, right? And I want other people to fall in love with it the way I did. And I think one of the ways that you do that is by keeping it fresh and involving those people in those things.
Good point. Hey, I love the projection shows. Don't get me wrong, because they're very emotional. When they show, like, Walt on the castle, I mean, just like, it's like he needs to be there. That's an easy way to do it. What about you, Ricky? If you had the choice, if they said you can have one or the other, but not both, projection show, nighttime parade. I know you're not a big parade person. What do you say?
I'm not, and I'm not, like, a big nighttime projection show person either. So, like, it's really hard for me to pick one, because if I were to choose, I probably would choose neither. But God, I know
you have
that
no
one
heart, man. No heart.
I know, right? yeah, this is like yikes. Bad Disney fan. No, so I guess if I was gonna choose one, though, I think Pam made actually decent arguments for having the projection show. Just because, like,
I made decent arguments, Mike. Did you hear that?
It's like those
It's
those AT&T commercials where, like, I'm okay at being a travel agent. What, you're not great at it? No, I'm okay. I'm average.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
Is that like a backhanded comment?
Just okay is not okay. Yeah, go ahead.
That's too funny.
No, it is. No, I don't know. Like, I don't love either. So I would be fine if there was me. I like the fireworks. I think the fireworks are, like, get rid of those. And that's, like, that's to me the thing that they should never get rid of. But I mean, if they got rid of the nighttime projection show, I mean, okay. If they, I mean, and clearly they've already gotten rid of the parade, so again, I'm kind of like, okay. I have no real opinion.
Tapestry Nations and Illuminations was the perfect ending in the perfect park. Just I know that it's too crowded to do it now because it did clog up the World Showcase promenade. But man,
the only parade I like is Boo to You. So
I do like Boo to You. But I'm just saying, Tapestry of Nations with those rotating drums. Oh man,
I never saw it in person.
Oh, it was awesome, man. That parade was so cool. Those big puppets that would come. Oh man, oh god, that was so great. Anyway, that's because you know what? I think here's the thing. I think when you first start falling in love with Walt Disney World, that is like your jam no matter what. Like, because that was the Spectral Magic. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I still think that's like the golden age for Walt Disney World. But I wasn't there like any, you know, that was like when it was just, I mean, it still is everything to me. But I mean, I was, so obsessed. Like, so obsessed at that point. It was just like, I couldn't think of anything else. All right, Pam, so give us something else let's do one more thing each that you just can't believe, you know, 10 years ago, it's going to go away and you couldn't believe that it is actually happening.
So for me, and this is something that goes back a bit, but it's something that you just always thought were going to be there. And it's seriously the yellow ponchos.
It's true. Yeah, true. Right? Rubber duckies.
Yes.
I mean, everyone, it would rain and poof.
Rubber ducky.
Everyone had a yellow poncho on. It was like they fell down from the sky right onto you. You had them, and let me tell you, those were durable ponchos.
Yes, they were.
Like,
yes.
You could bring them back subsequent trips because they were still in good shape. They were seriously the thickness of absolutely, like, remember the old vinyl shower curtain, like, thickness?
Yep.
Like, they were thick like that, really and truly. So it was just a sea of them. And then they've switched a lot over the years. They had, like, incarnations like at Animal Kingdom, they would have a brown one that had Safari Mickey on the back and different ones. And then they went to, you know, I think they're just a plain Mickey at this point.
Mickey with the castle and then all the Disney parks listed because they literally sell this poncho at every park,
right,
in every Disney resort around the
they
world.
They do.
World.
So, but there was just something about the yellow one that was just so classically Disney. And I just remember it happening, and you'll die because we've kind of been going through. I found one sealed in the package.
Oh my gosh.
The package. Yeah. So anyways, I have that in one of the boxes of stuff I have downstairs. But so they were just good ponchos. Now, I'm not a poncho fan. I think it's like your own little personal sauna.
Yeah.
So I don't like them at all. I'm an umbrella person. And I'm sorry, there are people who get mad about the umbrellas. I'm just like, can you simmer down a little bit? Because I have to have the umbrella.
Exactly.
So just move on with your life. You know, we'll all get through this together.
I will be your umbrella sister because I'm with you 100%.
Yes. Yes. But still, the ponchos, those yellow ponchos, man, that meant Disney.
Joanne's still got three of those things. She calls them her collector's item.
There you
go. I did hear that those things are rated to withstand a Category 3 hurricane.
I'm sure.
Absolutely. At least a Category 3. I've seen them withstand a 5. So, but yes, they're rated for a Category 3. So they're always under-promising and over-delivering, even in the poncho world.
Those things, they were durable because I remember because we used to drive all the time. And like, you'd wear it and then like it would, you know, stop raining. You'd try to shake them off, you know, and fold them back up. We carried a backpack everywhere back then, but then we got home and forgot about them, and like they'd be moldy, you know, because I know. So you sprayed them off and used them again. Whatever.
No.
Well, he probably did.
Cheap. Yeah. All right, Ricky. What's one other thing you can't believe? That's a good one. The rubber ducky ponchos.
That is a good one. All right. Well, I'm gonna kind of play on this one just for a second. It's something that I can't believe has happened. So. Back 10 years ago, Avatar came out in theaters, right? And so, like, it was this big cultural phenomenon, whatever. Everybody was going to see the movie in theaters. I didn't, but whatever. And then Disney announces that Avatar is coming to the parks. And, you know, we all were like, eh? Because at that point, you know, Avatar wasn't really a thing anymore. Like, nobody cared. So, like, I can't believe that 10 years later, that Pandora, the world of Avatar, is so popular at Disney's Animal Kingdom as it is, and that Flight of Passage has the wait times that it does continuously 2.5 years later, still has ridiculously long wait times. Navi River Journey still has ridiculously long wait times. Like, I can't believe that this attraction, this land, actually was oddly enough, like, this huge success. And, you know, based off this movie that, I mean, you know, came out in 2009, like, that's one of those things that floors me, is like, I can't believe it worked. So that's my, like, I can't believe it. Like, 10 years ago, if you'd have told me that this land based off this movie that nobody cares about anymore is gonna be this huge thing in Disney's Animal Kingdom, I would have laughed in your face. Well, and I did.
Yes. And that's kind of the cool thing about, you know, we've done this show for now almost 11, we started in 2008. So, you know, over 10 years, yeah. 11 years. And the thing is, like, we can go back to where Disney made this announcement, you know, we're going to make this land.
And you'll hear us be like, what the?
And the plants are going to glow at night, and there's going to be a boat ride, and, you know, we're putting in Animal Kingdom. It was like, Animal Kingdom? What a Animal Kingdom? You know, like, we were probably saying the same thing. You're right. I mean, the thing was, we've said this over the past, you know, 10, 11 years, that you kind of do have to distrust Disney that they're going to pull it off, because sometimes first, you know, hearing about something, it doesn't sound right or it doesn't sound like it'll work. But Ricky, that's a good point, because it is one of the most popular theme park lands anywhere you can go.
And if we're going to tie this into something that I can't believe is gone, I can't believe they took out Camp Minnie Mickey. I can't believe it. For this Pandora land. What? No, I'm just kidding.
But. So one of my small things that I can't believe is gone, and I mean, it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but I thought, again, it's Hollywood Studios, though. I mean, this park has literally transformed so much. And it's one of the places I love to go, but never bought anything. So that's probably why it is gone.
Oh, yes.
Sid Cahuenga's. Sid Cahuenga's right there as you enter the park. Like, that was such a unique place. And I know why it went away. I mean, it was probably, you know, 99% of the people were like me. You'd like to go in. You'd like to look at the memorabilia. I know people that did buy stuff there. I mean, Matt Parrish, I think, actually, speaking to Matt, this is the Matt Show, talked about, you know, he bought some stuff there, I think. And I mean, it was a good chance to get, you know, especially if you're from the Midwest, not from like out in California, you know, maybe your favorite movie poster or something. But you could probably get those like at Prince Plus at the mall back in the day, or, you know, Spencer's.
Prince Plus! I know. I used to love that store.
I used to love getting baseball player posters there. It was awesome. But I mean, I think the thing was, like, that was kind of like, it sold, like, Great Movie Ride was the heart of Hollywood Studios. Sid Cahuenga's was uniquely Disney's Hollywood Studios experience. Like, when you were there and you're a kid from St. Louis, you know, it was like, oh, I kind of feel like I'm out in Hollywood, you know, like at this store. Who knows how realistic it was, but I mean, it was a chance to kind of touch some real / fake Hollywood memorabilia. I loved it, but so long, Sid's. At least the building's there. It still looks the same. That's good.
Yeah, it does. It does.
At least there's that. I mean, you know, what is it still like a My Disney Experience help desk? I can't remember.
I don't even know what it
That's
is
what it
anymore.
Was for a while. I don't know.
I know
what it
that
is
the
now.
I know Donald and Daisy meet outside of it, right?
Yeah,
now.
I've got my picture with them right out there. Yeah. Scott and I have their medals last Princess Half Marathon Weekend did. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so let's shift gears here.
All right.
And talk about something we think, like, in a decade will be gone. But, like, right now, it's kind of unbelievable that it might be gone, but you have a reason as to why you think this thing may go away, even though it would be unexpected to the typical guest. So, Pam, what would you say?
This is something that's always so challenging for me, because I think in some decisions you can see coming a mile away, and other decisions you just can't. You can't see happening. But I don't think we're done seeing the changes at Hollywood Studios, and maybe because it is the park that needed to be, like, it needed a new sort of defining attractions and goals as a theme park, and theming as a theme park, right? The theme had shifted so much over the years that, think about it, think about the things that are happening. But I have to wonder that some of the shows will change.
If we do not have updates to Voyage of the Little Mermaid or Beauty and the Beast live on stage in 10 years, oh my God.
But look at it. I think the Beauty and the Beast is still popular now because we saw the live action one. And I wonder that if they're willing to keep the Little Mermaid open in anticipation of future projects that are happening there too. The one thing that I think, though, we can feel fairly certain at some point is going to change is Indiana Jones, right? Because even if we were just to update it to the latest Indiana Jones movie that came out a while back, that would at least be something.
Well, they're going to make the new one. There is a new one coming out in, what, 2021, 2022, somewhere in that time frame. So, like, they're going to probably tie it in with that one, I would assume. But who knows?
I don't know. I really don't. It's just, it's hard to think about. So I think that we're going to eventually see some changes there with that.
I totally agree. But if you would have said 10 years ago that Voyage of the Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast would still be here, I'd be like, you're crazy. Like, there's no way those will still be here in 10 years. So who knows? Maybe it'll make it 20. I mean, it's crazy. But you're right. I mean, there's a new, isn't Little Mermaid coming out live action?
Yeah, that's true.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. That stuff hangs on like a bad wisdom tooth. Anyway. All right, Ricky. That was a bad one. All right. I'll give myself a bell, though. Okay. That's a bad bell, too.
Well,
go ahead, Ricky.
I think that for me, now I say this knowing that they're updating, sort of. I would be surprised if Mission Space is still the same in 10 years. I just feel that. Now, I say that with a little bit of a caveat. I know that they are going to be adding the space restaurant, the Space 220. So that will add an extra element of maybe, you know, letting people know that the attraction exists. And also with the addition of the Play Pavilion and Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, again, you're going to start seeing people come into that area of the park. You know, right now, people are really only going to Test Track, and that's about it.
Yeah, true.
So maybe with the Play Pavilion and Cosmic Rewind, once those open, it will make Mission Space more popular. And so maybe my idea is wrong, but I just feel like Mission Space has never really caught on with the general public. You know, I know it gets a lot of people through, you know, I know the throughput is really high, but I just feel like it's been plagued with just, you know, just so much, not negative press necessarily, but just, it doesn't have that same energy level that other attractions have at Epcot. So I think that unless something big changes with, you know, the addition of the Play Pavilion and Cosmic Rewind, I don't know that we will be seeing Mission Space in the same form that we have it in. I think it's great to have a space-themed attraction, and I think that that would be something that's very important, especially with the addition of the space restaurant. I just don't know if the form that we have Mission Space in is going to remain in 10 years, but who knows?
And I appreciate that they have a space themed kind of attraction that's non IP, but I mean, this is screaming that they could like do an IP overlay, don't you think? To kind of like judge it up.
Don't make me hit you.
I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, think about it. I mean, well, the thing is, it's underperforming. You know, like, well, I get that they do this with everything, but I mean, for something that's underperforming, I could totally see it happening.
You know, if we're adding IP to it, which I hate the idea of, and I don't want
to
throw that idea out, but I know that, you know, you've already done it. So I would have thought that actually Guardians of the Galaxy would have fit in there better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have thought that that was a good fit for Mission Space. I guess I could see maybe a WALL-E attraction going in there. If we're going to theme it to, you know, space, I could see WALL-E, and I wouldn't hate a WALL-E attraction. I think that that would be somewhat decent. So, I mean, if we're throwing characters in, it's not a bad one.
All right, here's my thing that I think that in 10 years that you can't really see coming today. Well, you kind of can, but it's still kind of unbelievable. I don't think we'll see any more fossil-fueled buses in 10 years. In a decade, I think that we'll have figured out how to have an all-electric fleet of buses. Now, I don't know about the boats, but I mean, think about it. The gondolas, they're more, you know, they're not running on fossil fuel. I mean, obviously, electricity is created by coal and everything, you know, down the line. But I think that in the next 10 years, Disney is either going to be forced or is going to step up to the plate to become a leader in not only more green transportation, which they're a very green company. They get lots of awards for like what they do with their hotels, you know, and the water conservation and things like that. And, you know, packaging, like with the soaps, you know, the eliminating, you know, wasteful plastics and stuff like that. I think that they're going to do more and more of that, but I think a great place to go would be electric buses. They can probably figure that out. I mean, they're changing their bus fleet as we speak. They're doing these wraps. They're having, you know, the chargers and the new buses. I don't know, Pam, what do you think about that? Do you think that Disney will figure that out in the next decade?
I think they'll eventually move towards that. Yet they're already using a cleaner version of fuel.
Biofuel.
Right. Yeah. So I wonder that. I don't know if it'll happen in 10 years, but I think they're moving toward that. I mean, they keep making improvements in that space and they keep trying to find other ways, you know, to do that. They absolutely do have an initiative when it comes to finding new, you know, greener resources for things like that. But I think they're absolutely going to be on the right, you know, on the right track if it's not completed at that time. I think you're absolutely, you know, speaking to something that Disney does try to do.
And knowing what I know about the car industry, I don't know that we're going to be there in 10 years. It's moving a lot slower than we thought it would be. So knowing what I know, you know, I see Disney as being a forefront leader in it, maybe, but I don't know in 10 years if we'll be where we think we'll be in with as far as electric cars go or whatever. It's really moving very slow, much slower than I thought we'd be.
It is, but I mean, you got to think about it too. With something like that, it's all about right now the gas is cheap. Say gas goes up to $4 or $5 a gallon, all of a sudden those batteries are going to become better quickly.
Again, I know a lot about the car industry. I don't know that we're there yet. I'm being perfectly honest. I really don't know that we're there yet. So,
I mean, it's a good time to have a gas guzzler right now, but it may be changing in the next week. Who knows? There's a lot of stuff going on. So, one other thing too that I wanted to throw in, like things like the toiletries, you know, they became a tradition for us. I mean, how many of us listen to this podcast now if you're driving, keep it on unattended too? But raise your hand if you, like me, I mean, we had a big U-Haul truck and part of that truck was full with Mickey bottles of shampoo, conditioner, and soaps. You know, it's like 10, 15 years ago, you're just like, every time I go, I'm going to bring home, you know, 5 bottles of shampoo, 5 bottles of conditioner, and, you know, 2 bottles or 2 things of soap, or 7 soaps. You know, like, that was just as much of the tradition as, like, meeting Mickey Mouse was coming home with the toiletries. And now it's like, people going today will never have that satisfaction, which I'm not against. I think it's great because it is wasteful. I mean, I got a closet full of stuff, and I could live to be 98 and probably still, like, you know, smell like I'm walking out of Pop Century for the rest of my life. But I'm like, I'm a hoarder. Like, I'm scared to use it. Like, oh man, don't want to use up all my stash.
Well, now that it's gone,
I know, totally. And I'm scared to use it. I use it like once every, you know, if you're feeling sad, you got to use it. But I mean, you know, it's pert most of the time. So what can you do? In VO5.
All right.
Well, that's going to do it for it. Here's the thing, though. We want you to drop by the Facebook page, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us what you thought would never go away. And it's going away. I like Fountain Nations, Club Cool, all that stuff. Also, what do you think might be in danger going away in the next decade? So let us know on Facebook. Also, swing by at the Indie Disney Meet. This is a great conversation to have. We're going to be there. We'll tell you if it's right or wrong. No, we'll just have the conversation. That's what we do. You know, we're just going to have fun talking Disney. And we just want to continue the conversation. Hopefully this is one that as you're going down the road, if you're driving to the Indie Disney Meet, you can talk back and forth with everybody in the car and have a nice conversation. That's kind of why we picked this show for today. But don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're headed on your next Disney adventure, an adventure is out there. I've heard that from Pam Forrester. You need to drop by themagicforless.com, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, or even Disney Cruise Line.
Whatever Disney sells.
Or Universal. I was going to throw Universal in there, but I'm really kind of talking Disney, but we can do it all. Just drop by, check out all the specials at themagicforless.com, and once you're there, fill out that free no-obligation quote form. An agent will get back to you right away, and you're going to be planning that next adventure and having a great time headed to your favorite place. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Let us help support the show, and you get all your Prime benefits, so nothing lost there. So bookmark it and use it often. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media, as we're going to be posting a ton of stuff from the Indy Disney Meet this weekend. It's at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. Of course, follow the travel agency at The Magic for Less. Ricky's at Ricky Nibs, and Pam is at TMFLTPam. So follow all those accounts on Instagram and Twitter. We're going to be posting a lot. And of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. And we're going to see a lot of you in Indy. So stay safe out on those highways and take your time getting there. Be careful. For everybody else, we hope you have a great weekend. For Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike saying stay safe, whatever you do this weekend. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.